I'm joined here in the studio this morning with Melissa Aronson.
Good morning, Joni.
And Suzanne V.A. Smith.
Good morning, Joni.
Good morning.
Good morning,
glad to
Suzanne.
See you.
Yeah. Well, welcome back, Joni.
Oh, it's great to
and,
be back.
And welcome, Suzanne. It's great to have you on. So today we're going to talk about how and when to divide perennials and also how and when to plant flower bulbs. But before we get into our topic, Kate asked me to share with everybody that there was a mix-up by a major distribution distributor of pepper seeds this spring. They're calling it Peppergate. So anyway, if you got pepper plants and they're producing something other than what you thought they would be producing, that's exactly what happened. So I'd heard a few little rumors about that, but she investigated it, and that was the situation. So this major supplier that supplies lots of the different seed companies just somehow got a bunch of stuff mislabeled.
Well, you know, that's par for the course for me. I plant seeds and don't remember what I planted, so.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
Well, then, okay, so
good on that one.
Okay. So back to the perennials and bulbs. So, Suzanne, why should perennials be divided?
Because they get too big, and then they just don't thrive as well. And I find that if you divide them or even cut them in thirds and move them, replant them somewhere, give them to your neighbors who have a similar area where they'll do well in, it keeps the garden balanced and it keeps the plants healthier. That's what I feel. That's kind of just off the top of my head. For instance, I've got one type of hosta, and they moved with me from when we lived over at the fort to our new house because they did so well over there and the garden was really lacking where we were moving to. I brought a couple with me, and they absolutely thrive. They take over. So I love them, but they grow very rapidly, so I'm constantly trying to keep them under control and not take over the other perennials that might need a little bit more time and support to really thrive. So I try to keep them balanced.
Okay. So none of us like to be crowded, including plants.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Yeah. Well, good. Thank you.
Yeah, that promotes the air circulation in there, too.
Yeah.
It, like, lessens the chance of mold and mildew and that. Mm-hmm.
Right. And as you say, it's a great chance to share plants with friends.
Uh-huh.
So I know I have a lot of flowers that I've gotten from various friends over time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's another thing that I do with my perennials. I have found, because I really started from ground zero at our newer house. We've been there 13 years now. But I found that digging up perennials that are kind of growing in the ditches, like lupins, getting perennials from established gardeners who say, well, I'm dividing this, you want to come and take some, or perennials in the same neighborhood, they always do so much better than perennials that I have bought. Mm-hmm. Even though, you know, we have a wonderful supplier here, Gomez Garden, I've had some success, but my biggest success are the ones that I take from plants that are already established in our area.
And adapted.
Yeah.
Adapted.
Yeah.
Because it's challenging for us as gardeners, and it's challenging for our friends, the plants.
Right.
So is it okay to go in the ditches and dig up the lupins and whatnot?
But I do it. It doesn't always work. Sometimes, you know, lupins are, you know, they have very delicate roots and stuff.
Right.
And sometimes they'll take, sometimes they won't. But if you've got a couple that do take, lupins get very happy, and they can reseed, and that's what I did with. I have a lot of goldenrod. I like goldenrod.
Yeah, it's a pretty plant.
Yeah,
it's medicinal as well.
Yeah, and it grows all over here. So I just dug up some and planted it I put like three plants in various locations to see where it would do the best. And it looks really nice, and I like it.
Yeah, oh, the lupins are beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, and this is also the time you can get seed pods off of plants.
So, yeah.
Lupins are pretty tricky to grow from seed, though. I mean, you got to scratch the seed, and it usually takes 2 years for it to actually turn into a flower.
Yeah. I just cut seed pods off and sort of Johnny Appleseed them around where I want them.
Right.
You know, I just toss them in the spaces where I want things to grow.
Oh, nice. That's a better idea than, sitting there with a nail file trying to file them down and soak them and everything else. Mm-hmm.
And I have gotten some lupins that are more nursery type lupins, and I've planted them, and I just don't like them as much.
Mm-hmm.
They're later, they last for a shorter amount of time. They just don't thrive, whereas the wild lupins that grow all over the place just are happier.
Yeah. Once again, they're adapted to this area, and it makes it so much easier to grow them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they belong here.
Get your shovels out.
Yeah.
I walk around. You know, I used to drive in my car. If I was going far, I'd always have a shovel and some buckets in the car because I would find things that I would like to dig up in areas. So I would do that. And then if I were down by the Chilcat Beach, depending on the tide, I'd be like, oh, there's a big clump of organic material. It's not actually seaweed, but it's more ground up. And I use that to build beds.
Okay.
And so I'm constantly hauling these bucket fills.
The duff off the beach. Yeah.
You know, I've been tempted to dig up plants, but I'm just like, I don't know. I'm such a rule follower.
I'm not. I've never gotten in trouble.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it kind of depends on where you are. Like in California, if digging up like a California poppy, big fine. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, here things are.
And they're so prolific.
Yeah.
Nobody would miss one or two plants.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If, you know, but we shouldn't say it on the radio because
I didn't say it. Okay.
Yeah. We wouldn't want anybody else to follow our lead on that one. Okay. Yeah. So what kind of perennials are you dividing now? What types?
Always this one particular type of hosta. I divide daylilies.
Oh, yeah.
Because they really tend to multiply and really grow large, and I like the blooms, and I just feel if you divide them, keep them small, compost them, put mushroom compost around them, they do much better. So
Also need to be in a lot of sun.
Yeah. I just divide things experimentally to see if maybe the part that I'm replanting will do better than in the original placement, because I have found, even in my yard, that I have microclimates in the yard.
With the sun
instance,
and the shade.
The sun and the shade, even the amount of moisture in the soil. Yeah. I have this one area next to our driveway, and it's a fairly steep bank, and it's a beautiful spot for perennials, and it's in the shade, but it's very, very dry. And it's not easily accessed to get the hose to it.
Mm-hmm.
So that became my primary area for actually planting bulbs, which they've done really well in this spot. But I have to make sure that the perennials in there are drought tolerant, which is kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
But then in other parts of my yard, it's very, very wet, where you get a lot of shade, but a lot of precipitation. And so basically, I'm right now I'm dividing different types of lilies and different types of hostas. I don't divide anything until they're completely bloomed out. So people say fall. To me, the fall with the plants I divide is starting now, and that's when I get really busy.
Right. Yeah. Okay. We don't want to go too far into the fall because you want the plants to have some growing time to recover.
And I also watch the weather very carefully. Mm. If we're having a dry period like we are now, I don't divide anything. Mm-hmm. Because even though you know, if you're conscientious, you'll water them and keep them. I like to know that they're going in to moist, to a moist place, and they'll get that natural rainfall for at least a week when they're, you know, they're kind of in shock. And so I watch the weather when I divide. I would never divide like right now.
Okay. So you don't have to wait until the leaves start getting browned out or fall over?
Yeah, no, you want to do it before that, I think, generally, don't you? Because you want the plant to have a chance to recover, and so it's strong going into the winter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Well, that's good to know. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I just experiment. I really don't know much, so I experiment, and what works. I've had a lot of failures, and it's like, oh, well. You know,
that sounds like gardening here.
Yeah, it's more fun.
Are primroses one of the things you would divide now?
Yeah, if I needed to. Right now, I don't need to. I've never had a big interest in primroses because I don't like them all that much. Okay. But there is a type of primrose that you see all over the
big ones.
Yeah, the big ones. And so I started planting those from a ditch. In my little area next to the driveway where it's hard to grow things because of the moisture and the shade. And they're starting to establish, but they haven't gotten so far out of control that I have to start moving them. Mm-hmm. I want them more for almost like a ground cover and a mulch to fill in areas that tend to get really weedy because they're so strong.
Oh, they block weeds beautifully.
Yeah. Yeah,
I got some of those big, beautiful primroses from Kate.
Right.
Kate Saunders a couple
of
years ago.
I want some of those.
Oh, they're gorgeous.
Yeah.
And it's time to divide them because they've just filled in their spot.
Yeah. Kate, I really use my neighbors and my friends who like to garden. And I go look at their gardens and I ask them, you know, with Kate, she's always giving me.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to run out of time here. But what kind of perennials should we wait and divide in the spring?
You know, I don't know too much. All I know is what I try. And usually the only perennial I have ever divided in the spring are this type of, I guess it's a type of daylily. And they were in my garden when we moved there. And I noticed they have beautiful big foliage leaves, bigger than the daylilies. And every year they'll get a stalk, they'll get blossoms, but it's very late and often they have never bloomed. So in the spring, what I did is I took some of these and I divided them up because I knew there were such late bloomers and maybe would never bloom. I divided them up and I placed them in different areas. And this year, for the first time, they're blooming. So it was just a question of moving them
to a different spot. Yeah, I had to give up on daylilies because I just don't have enough sun in my area.
Yeah. So that's the only thing I've really divided in the spring because I divide so much in the fall.
Okay. So we're going to run out of time here quickly, but what kind of bulbs are you planting now?
I haven't planted any yet. I wait till Sabina's sale.
Okay. Which is usually
Early October.
Okay.
And I plant at least 150 tulip bulbs every fall. I love tulips. And I've been very lucky. I've started some new beds. I mix them up with my perennials because the perennials are much later. But I always use very tall in height tulips, and usually the late blooming tulips. And I just have tremendous luck. And so I'll start that in October. But I have gotten some. I do sometimes plant daffodils. They haven't done as well for me. But when I do plant them, I have noticed that they, I can plant them really late. Like one time I had a bunch of bulbs from Pam Randall's. And it was November, and the ground was not frozen, so I thought, what the heck, they were free, I'll just toss them in with some bulb booster, and they've done beautifully, but they haven't
multiplied.
Yeah, they haven't reseeded themselves, so, but.
Yeah, And then do you protect the bulbs?
The only thing I've done to protect the bulbs is putting seaweed on the garden, and sometimes I will put spruce boughs on the garden. And then in the spring, I just drag them off and throw them in the woods.
Yeah, because it's really important to protect the bulbs. Last year, we had a lot that froze because we had that cold spell in December, I guess it was. Very little snow on the ground. A lot of people lost their bulbs.
Yeah, I was lucky.
Yeah. We are out of time.
It happens. Every Thursday.
It happens. We just have way too much fun talking about gardens. So thank you, Suzanne, and thank you for being back, Joni.
Oh, it's great to be back. Thank you for coming in.
Okay, we will see you.